Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SRF Limited Q1 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Sirumala from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Stanford. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on SRF Limited's Q1 FY18 results conference call. We thank the management of SRF for giving us the opportunity to host this call today. Today we have with us Mr. Anup Joshi, President, CFO and Company Secretary, and Mr. Rahul Jain, Senior Vice President, Treasury and Corporate Controller, SRF on the call. I would now like to invite Ms. Nitika Dhawan, Head of Corporate Communications at SRF, to initiate proceedings for the SRF con call.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Nitika Dhawan and I lead communications for SRF. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for joining us on the company's quarter one financial year 2018 results conference call. We will begin this call with brief opening remarks from our President, CFO and Company Secretary, Mr. Anup Joshi, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question and answer session. Before we begin the call, I would like to emphasize that some statements made in this call may be forward-looking and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation. I would now like to invite Mr. Joshi to make his opening remarks.
Good evening, everyone. I warmly welcome everyone to SRF Limited's Q1 FY18 results call. Thank you all for taking the time out to participate in our quarterly earnings call. Let me begin by briefly taking you through the key operational highlights for quarter under review, following which we can have a detailed question and answer discussion. We have reported a subdued performance in the quarter under review, largely on account of unfavorable operating macroeconomic environment, which adversely impacted most of our businesses. The consolidated gross sales grew by 6.9% to rupees 1,388 crores in Q1 FY18, but PAT decreased to rupees 104 crores in Q1 FY18. Subdued commodity prices, channel destocking during the transition to the GST regime, increase in effective tax rate and a sharp appreciation of rupee against the dollar were all strong headwinds we faced during the quarter. While we expect the environment to remain challenging in the near term, we expect an improvement from Q4 onwards. In Q1 FY18, the board has declared a dividend at the rate of 60% amounting to rupees 6 per share. This will result in a cash outflow of 41.46 crores, including tax. Coming to our segmental performance, the chemical and polymer segment witnessed weak profitability, primarily due to lower contribution from the specialty chemical segment and the transition to GST impacting the fluorochemicals business. So while we continue to strengthen our market share in the fluorochemicals business and remain the largest producer in India, during the quarter we witnessed reduced demand ahead of the GST deadline in the month of June. This impacted domestic offtake, leading to lower volumes in June 2017. We are, however, very hopeful that the anti-dumping duty imposed by US in March 2017 on Chinese imports and demand from other customers will allow us to run our 134A plant to capacity. We are exploring debottlenecking of our existing 134A plant in order to meet demand from existing and future customers. There's been a steady transition from HFC 22 into increasing usage of HFC blends and HFC 32. We have been at the forefront of leading this revolution in India and are currently the only producer showing our superior R&D capabilities. During the quarter, we achieved the highest ever production and sale of refrigerant blends, namely HFC-32 and HFC-410A. The filing for the DMF of the HFC-134A Pharma was completed in the month of July 2017, and we hope that the customer's transition should happen in the next year and a half. With regard to the specialty chemicals business, we have been saying over the past few quarters that the overall sentiments in the global agrochemical industry remain subdued and continue to impact our results. However, we have seen some visible green shoots in the sector, which we believe signals an uptick in the industry. At SRF, we expect demand to improve at the end of this fiscal year. We are already in the process of freezing our plans for Q3 and Q4. We have in place the manufacturing and R&D capabilities to capture any revival in this segment. Board has approved setting up of a facility to produce E33, a product for agro industry at our Dahej site at an estimated cost of 85 crores. The facility will set up in the next 9 months and will have a capacity of 800 to 1,000 tons per annum. This facility will be funded through a mix of debt and internal accruals. You would also remember that the board had approved a capex of 180 crores to produce an active agro, which is proceeding as per the plans. Going ahead, we will continue to focus on commercial conversion of new products developed in both pharma and agro segments in the next couple of years. Overall, over the years, we have built a world-class facility at Dahej, backed by strong R&D, manufacturing, and skilled talent. Qualification loads for new products have been produced and supplied to our customers, and we believe that the funnel remains strong and robust ahead of the expected revival of the industry. This showcases our position in the global chemical industry and underscores why we remain very optimistic on the long-term potential of our specialty chemicals business. I'm also happy to share that SRF's Bhiwadi facility was recently conferred the 23rd Bhamashah Award 2017 by Government of Rajasthan for significant contribution in the field of primary and elementary education along with infrastructural developments of the schools. Therefore, we at SRF believe not only in profitability but also in giving back to the society. Moving on to the technical textile business, we continue to sustain performance in the NTCS segment despite increasing competition from lower-priced Chinese truck and bus radials. In addition, this quarter also saw impact of declining raw material prices. Our focus is on increasing cost efficiencies through a judicious management of raw material and inventories. This business continues to generate notable free cash flows for the company. The performance of the coated and laminated fabrics has been encouraging despite competition and some challenges in the demand due to GST transition. Moving to our packaging film business, the segment reported increased revenues but profitability was impacted as oversupply in the domestic market led to pressure on margins. There was also an adverse effect of GST implementation, which impacted demand from key sectors like FMCG. In spite of this, our plants ran to full capacity during the quarter despite an oversupply in the market. The focus in this segment is on rationalizing human resources and efficient utilization of utilities and raw materials. We continue to further increase our product mix towards innovative value-added products which gives us better realization. The BOPET line in the DTA commenced in operations in February 2017, faced certain issues with power availability leading to lower than expected volumes. Our South Africa and Thailand facilities have performed well during the quarter and continue to set new benchmarks for being the lowest cost producers. All our investments are progressing well. The new offline coating machine is expected to start production in Q2 of FY18. Also, our indoor domestic tariff area BOPP plant installation is under process and is scheduled as per plan. Our standalone effective tax rate has increased from 23.6% for FY17 to 32.13% in Q1 financial year 18 due to two key exemptions on R&D deduction and investment allowance under the Income Tax Act being reduced or removed. This will have an impact on our consolidated profit after tax for FY18 as compared to the previous financial year. Further, SRF has raised rupees 300 crores by way of a 3-year non-convertible debenture in June 2017 at a coupon of 7.33% payable annually. This instrument was rated AA+ by CRISIL and generated substantial response in the debt markets. Despite our current capex plans, our financial profile remains strong and much of the proposed capital expenditure will be financed through internal accruals. In conclusion, it's been our endeavor to focus on innovations and building a pipeline of world-class products. We will continue to further enhance our manufacturing, maintain strong quality systems, and be at the forefront of innovation in India. We will also maintain financial prudence, constantly evaluate capital allocation in the businesses, and strive for enhanced profitability to reward our shareholders from time to time. On that note, I conclude my remarks and would like to thank you all for joining us on this conference call. We would now be happy to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then 1. We take the first question from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Sir, on this quarter, I think margins and chemicals business have specifically been weak. And I think this is the trend we are seeing from quarter four of last year as well. So anything specific happening on specialty chemicals? Is that any particular molecule is facing some pressure which was fairly high margin? Or is it, you know, probably the mix and, you know, specialty chemical sales have declined substantially, which is kind of creating that mix impact? And if you could just give us a sense on how to think about specialty chemical margins and the non-specialty or the fluorochemical business margins. That's first of my question.
Ritesh, we already covered the specialty chemical continues to face the headwinds. And last quarter, this quarter is no different from the immediately preceding quarter. Yes, if you see the same quarter last year, you see, you know, the sharp decline in terms of the margins and performance. But if you were to just compare the immediately preceding quarters, the chemical segment as such hasn't been all that bad if you were to compare as a percentage of the margins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not about some of the molecules which have a high profitability and the sale of which has declined. In fact, if I may say so, none of our orders have been canceled. Mm-hmm. They have all been deferred. All the buyers are only waiting for the turnaround as we all are doing. And it is only a matter of time before they will lift the material and it will, you know, bring the back the profitability structure of this chemical segment very soon. On the other part of the chemical business, the refrigerant, we continue to increase our market share. We continue to sell more of 134A, R32, and the blends. We have doubled the sale of blends and R32. 134A also, we sold something like 3,000 metric tons during the quarter. Mm-hmm. And we hope to reach our capacity by the year end for 134A. And we are in the process of exploring how do we de-bottleneck if the demand continues to rise the way it is and to find additional quantities to be sold. So if I was to take a holistic picture of the chemicals segment, compared to the immediately preceding quarter, we are not that worse off as you see the same quarter last year. And that, in any case, is the flavor of the day. I mean, maybe the next quarter also will continue to be of a similar question. What I can only say is, by the time we end the year, we feel that we should be able to do almost similar what we did last year,
mm-hmm.
if not, you know, a slight improvement in the overall performance. That is what we are getting the, you know, feeling as of now, because the third and the fourth quarter, third quarter may show a beginning and fourth quarter may give us these additional volumes, or the deferments which have occurred, maybe those stocks get lifted, giving us the profitability back to the, you know, similar levels as we had in the last year.
So basically you're saying that profitability wise you might be at a similar level in chemicals business as you saw, as you were in FY17.
Yeah, some operating leverage does benefit, you know, one portion of the, like, you know, as I said, 134A, if the quantities keep on increasing, there surely will be some advantage there. But it's not about, you know, as you are wanting to know that some of the molecules which are high profitability, whether they have been sold or not sold, okay. These are all a deferment which has occurred.
So basically the close to say, I mean, at before this whole thing started to happen, I mean, you're trending close to 23-24% margins in chemical side, which has come down to almost 15%. So that way, 23-24% is a normal profitability level that you should see in the chemicals business, rather than 15%, which is more of an aberration due to the...
That's true.
And sir, secondly, on R134A, I mean, what kind of capacity expansion you are looking at? I mean, the debottlenecking that probably you are looking at.
In a chemical plant, Ritesh, typically 25-30% debottlenecking is possible from our experience in the past. How much it will be exactly, I can't say it now. But, you know, to be ready to meet additional requirement, you know, whenever it comes through, because the third and the fourth quarter gets, you know, demand traction from the U.S. and the other markets on the refrigerant side. So we want to be ready for that, for an additional demand. Obviously, whether it is going to be 25% debottlenecking or 30% in the closer to time, we will know. But that's good enough, at least for the demand that one foresees to come through in this year and the next year.
But you have seen a difference coming from the China. I think Chinese imports have got anti-dumping duty in U.S. So you have seen some bit of traction because of that.
Yeah, of course. That has an impact. But the impact will be realized, the potential will be realized, as I said, only in the third and the fourth quarter.
Correct. And last question from my side, sir, on packaging films, if you can give us a sense. I mean, I can read two different things. One is that the industry coming under pressure, and second one is that you yourself are taking a lot of initiatives. So on that side, on margins, was there a bit of inventory losses this quarter on packaging side or on technical textile? And what kind of profit, I mean, on packaging films, do you think that these kind of margins, say 13-14% that you have been reporting in FY17, possibly can sustain even as the new lines come up?
If you, again, you know, packaging film, I'll just take you to the immediately preceding quarter. Even in the last quarter, the quarter four of FY17, we had margins of over 10%. Which has only improved about 11% in this quarter. So that way it is showing an upward trend. But having said that, there were as many as three lines other than SRF, which came through between the, you know, the June of 2016 and now June of, in fact, March of 2017. Now, obviously, those three lines means about 1 lakh ton additional capacity, which was there. And it has had impacts on the margin. And if you were to compare some of our competitors, our margins are way ahead of theirs because of our cost structures, because of the way the componentization that we do on the value-added products, and, you know, a very serious, so to say, effort to reduce increase our operational efficiencies and reduce our costs. So now what we hear, you know, again, it's something that obviously I can't verify, but some of the people who had placed orders for the newer lines and which were to come in, the time to come, we understand that many of them have cancelled their orders. So once this, because it's a growing business, it grows at about 10-12% in India and, you know, about 6-7% outside India. So by that time, even if these additional capacities have come in, we believe that in the next couple of quarters, this supply-demand will again, you know, turn positive to us. And by the time we close the year, we hope to come back to our, you know, those normal margins, about 14-15% on a year-end basis.
Got it, sir. Thanks so much, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. We take the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So I wanted to know two things. Like, in a specialty chemical business, what was the ratio of agrochemical versus the pharma during this particular quarter?
It remains more or less in the same range, you know, somewhere between 20 to 80. I mean, pharma is much more like 20% and the agro must be more like
20%. Okay. So is it that, sir, because last time, if I remember, you said that agro was around 75% and pharma was around 25% and pharma was likely to inch up. So
that is the range I gave. It may be, you know, exactly if one was to work out, maybe it is 23, 77,
okay.
Maybe it's
Okay, perfect, sir. And secondly, sir, last quarter you said that the mix of overall other fluorochemical business versus the specialty chemical business was around 50-50 in Q4. So is the ratio remain same this quarter or because the margin has again came down? So just wanted to understand on that particular ratio.
Of course, it doesn't remain at the same 50-50. As I said, you know, there's a lot of deferments on the specialty chemical side. So those have not got converted into revenues. So, obviously, it is not 50-50, but it's not something which has drastically changed. It may have become maybe 45, 55, it may become 42.
Got that. And the ratio of this, if I compare with Q1 last year, how was the ratio, sir, at that point of time of the chemical versus the other fluorochemical business?
It was more or less 50-50. Maybe 60% was the fluoro specialty and the 40% was the fluoro. But now, because in this quarter, there's been a substantial change in the turnover of refrigerants. That is what I said on 134 and so on.
Correct.
On a little up.
Okay. So then, sir, I just wanted to understand, like, you know, if I see this ratio, then I assume that the specialty chemical business in Q1 was a very high profitable business relative to the Q1 of this year. So is that just because of the economies of scale the margin has came down, or it is also because of the revenue mix?
Specialty chemical is a very, you know, what kind of a specialty chemical for which customer, which molecule did you produce, that will define.
Correct.
The margin. And, you know, obviously, all the molecules do not give you the same margin.
Correct.
Same margin. You know, there are certain dedicated plants which produce in huge quantities the material for some of the customers. Some of the plants produce only in the pilot, the smaller quantities where the margin may be more. So it's not something a like-to-like comparison, quite frankly.
Okay.
It depends on the way, you know, what is the composition of a dedicated supply, one-off supply, the pilot supply, small quantities, etc. So, I mean, it won't be fair to, you know, compare in that sense. This depends on the exact composition of which molecule is getting sold and so on.
Got that, sir. Helpful, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sneha Talreja from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my question. My question was pertaining to the chemical segment. So which is the segment? You mentioned a lot of reasons for chemical segment to, you know, perform in the weaker way that we've seen. Which would be the most significant reason for it? Because you've mentioned that, you know, there was a slow pickup in term because of GST and there was destocking. Then even there were deferment of orders at the specialty side. So where we have seen significant decline in revenues, on the specialty side or on the fluorochemicals part of it?
Specialty chemical, I already, you know, talked in detail that it continues to face the headwinds, and therefore there's been a deferment, and which has obviously impacted the profitability. On the refrigerant side, in the month of June, because the April, May, June is the peak season for refrigerants. And in the month of June, when from the first of July, the GST was to implemented, we sell, in domestically at least, you know, large amount of refrigerant gas to our distribution network. And there the people maybe were not clear how it is going to pan out, or going whether post-GST they should defer their sale, which has definitely impacted our refrigerant gas business at the domestic level. But that is only the domestic piece which got impacted substantially. It is not the exports part continue to do well.
So can we quantify the same? How much would be the decline? Because that is one of the quarter, and maybe in the next quarter we could see that pick up.
In refrigerant gas business, because it's a seasonal sale. Generally, when the sale is lost, it is lost forever. I mean, it's not that the people who didn't buy in June now will buy in September or August when the, you know, the season is not the same as in the month of June. I don't think it will, to my our mind, whatever is lost for all. Maybe about 200 tons or so is something that we lost, I say.
Okay, so coming to the question which you answered to the earlier participant that about the margins, that, you know, you see profitability coming back by end of the year. So, sir, what sign of visibility are you seeing in the global agrochemical market, if you could explain that? And what kind of revenue visibility are you seeing for the remaining quarters then?
We supply to all the innovators. So our estimate or our take on what the future looks like depend on, you know, what it is that they are foreseeing, when it is that they are targeting to lift the material. So as I said, you know, large amount of the revenue is only deferred. It is not canceled. None of the people have canceled their order to say that we are not going to buy this at all. They have only said maybe third quarter, maybe fourth quarter when the, you know, cycle is going to turn. And if you read the commentaries of some of the big majors, like, you know, Bayer Crop Science is on record, has gone on record to say that by the end of 2017 calendar, the turnaround should happen. So based on our discussions and the inquiries and, you know, deliberations with all these majors, we feel that, you know, if they are looking at turnaround to happen by the end of 2017, there has to be some lag between when they going to launch or when they see the turnaround, because they are also in the direct supply of material at the ground level. So with that lag, considering that lag, we believe that the fourth quarter is somewhere we should get this material, which is deferred. They should lift it, and we should have some more orders certified in the meantime. That is why we believe that by the end of the year, hopefully we should come more or less at the similar levels which you saw in the last year as far as the chemical business as a whole is concerned.
So looking at the scenario, it will be almost...
Ms. Talreja, may we request you to come back in the question queue, please?
Can I just complete this question, sir?
Sure, go ahead.
Sir, I was just saying, if you look at, if that is a kind of a scenario, another two quarters would be, you know, kind of remain sluggish, and then you would have two consecutive years where we would have reported almost 0 to 5 kind of percent growth. So then in the next year, would you expect significant growth of about 20 to 30%, because we would have another 2 years of consecutive years where, you know, specialty care segment would have not performed really well?
I wish I had, you know, some crystal ball through which I could see in 18, 19, 20 and so on. But yeah, definitely, because in that hope and in that, with the, not only hope, but, you know, with very clearly visible signs across our, you know, the innovators and the various other customers and the industry as such, this industry is not going to remain down for more than 1.5 years or 2 years, because ultimately people will need food, people will need new kinds of, you know, the pharmaceuticals and the drugs and so on. So it will come back. I mean, we believe in that, that is why we are committing. If you see a lot of capexes, even last year we had, in the last board meeting, we had approved 180 crores. Even in this board meeting, we have approved for P33 and agrochemical about 85 crores. So with, you know, these visible signs that we can see and feel, we are committing capexes. So we believe that FY19 should see that similar or near to the, you know, similar kind of growth that you have seen in the past.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my question, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhijit Akela from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks a lot for taking my question.
Good afternoon.
Just, you know, one follow-up on the previous question. So this 8% decline that we've seen in the chemicals and polymers segment, YOY, just to, you know, make sure I understood correctly, that basically you're saying that, you know, the ref gases part of that segment has grown YOY. The decline is entirely because of fluoro specialties. Is that the correct understanding?
Well, yes, of course. Ref gas also, as I said, you know, on the domestic front had some challenges because of the GST in the last month of the quarter, which June is, you know, typically the best month of the first quarter for us in the refrigerant scene. And because of the GST, that was also impacted.
So ref gases has also declined YOY, is it, for the quarter?
No, I'm saying YOY, if you were to take ref gas, one component, to the extent that we sell in the domestic market, that was impacted. The export market continued to grow. So overall, if I was to say, the refrigerant gas was not down. Yes, it has increased.
Okay, understand. And also, just the revenue decline in fluoro specialties is, you know, is that entirely driven by lower volumes, or have there been, you know, lower realizations for whatever reason? I mean, lower crude
volumes, as I said, you know, that it is only deferment of the purchases which has occurred, and obviously because of that, the
okay,
volumes have gone down.
Got it. And the new plan that we have announced, do we have visibility in terms of orders in hand for that, or, you know, how do you expect to sort of...
It's not that we have a signed and sealed order, but we have a good amount of traction, and based on the discussions with some of the customers only we have decided, because this was a very unique kind of a treatment that we couldn't do in our some of the multi-purpose plants. So we are setting up for a bromination and, you know, fluorination, a very specific unit to have this P33. Earlier, we tried to make it in a multi-purpose plant. We were finding it difficult. But it may not be with reference to a signed and sealed order, but a good amount of, so to say, conviction and commitment from some of the customers that we have announced this CapEx.
Got it, sir. And just one last clarification. On the packaging film side, you said you believe that by end of the year, you should be back to around 14-15% margins.
Yeah, because we believe we are at the lowest... margins at this point of time.
Okay, so by 4Q, we are aiming to be there, approximately.
Well, this is what our expectation and estimation is. By the time we close the year, we should have a reasonable margins for the year as a whole.
Okay, thank you so much. So, wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mehul Seth from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question is related to chemical business. Your margin has declined sharply, majorly because of your weak performance in fluoro specialty, and there are unabsorbed costs related to your expansion. So what do you feel? That means how long it will be continued, this unabsorbed cost element in your P&L item?
My right answer that, you know, some of the other people have raised the same issue, that we believe that the operating leverage is going to become better by the time we close this year, based on, you know, some indications from our customers and the markets, that from the third and fourth quarter, the specialty chemical business should do relatively better. And by the time we close the year, we should have a better utilization of the assets on the ground.
Okay, sir. Also on U.S. front, this anti-dumping duty, So how do you see this pricing and demand scenario will pan out for you in after this implementation of anti-dumping?
This is definitely positive, because as it is, we could have competed with China on the basis of our cost structure, even the erstwhile regime. Now that the anti-dumping duty has been levied, obviously there may be some chance for us to increase our margins, because we can definitely add something to our existing price that we were selling. But exact realization will happen only in the third and the fourth quarter, by that time that the U.S. demand really picks up and we get orders for supply.
And your new BOPET capacity, sir, can you give the number, means how utilization number, means what percentage it is now utilizing?
We have 100% utilization of the new BOPET line. In this quarter, we had some issues with regard to the power availability in that GTL line, and because of that, we lost some volume. Otherwise, whatever we produced, we sold, and we utilized the plant almost 100%.
Okay, sir. One more question on packaging film side only. Through our sources, we come to know about, due to this oversupply in packaging film business, there is a declining trend in pricing. So, sir, can you give some light on the pricing and pricing front for this particular packaging film business side?
As I said, margins have been historically low in this quarter, because as many as 4 lines, including one of SRF, came through in the last about a year or so. Obviously, when the supply outstrips the demand, obviously there will be pressure on the margin. But having said that, we were still able to sell 100% of our quantities that we produced, because of our cost structure and our thrust on the value-added products, and also serving the organized players, where the margins are protected and the contracts are for a little longer term, etc. And we only believe that from here, see, things are only going to improve. They may not, because we one is not hearing of any new lines coming through. So the demand is growing continuously. So we should be able to only have our margins going forward.
And sir, overall in Q1 you have a operating margin of around 14.2%, means are in a range of 14 to 15%. So what your expectation for the full year and for the next year, how your operating
margin? We should be able to reach that margin by the time we close the year.
Okay, sir. One last question. You are seeing a recovery in your business by Q3 or Q4 of this year. So what exactly giving you a confidence about this? Means any new pipeline product that you have or any new project you are working on?
Pipeline for the inquiries and the, you know, the pilot and the qualification, that keeps on happening all the time. Our entire funnel is full in terms of the molecules that we are working on, that we are developing on, that we are doing a piloting. All that is there. The only thing is it has to just convert into an actual large order from the customers, which is what they are only waiting. And based on our inquiries and interactions with them, we believe that maybe this will start happening in third quarter, and this will culminate into some, tangible in fourth quarter.
Okay, sir. That is from my side. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. We take the next question from the line of Atul Tiwari from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So thanks for taking my question. Just a broad-based question, not a segment-specific. So, see, this quarter's, EBITDA margin for the consolidated entity about 16.5%. Do you think, based on whatever you are seeing currently, it can reach back to 20% kind of level by third quarter, fourth quarter? Factoring everything into account, improvement in volumes and exports, etc.
Well, this is what I said, because, two of the segments, technical textiles is more or less a stable business because of some inventory prices going up and down. You may see some aberrations on quarter on quarter. But the two major businesses, which is the chemical business and packaging film business, as I said, packaging film business, the margins are at the historical low levels, which are only going to become better. And the specialty chemical is only going to be better in the third and the fourth quarter. And as I said, the refrigerant gas business on the in the third and fourth quarter is only going to be better. So if I was to take into consideration all of that, there are three factors, which in any case will continue to be some kind of headwinds. If the rupee continues to be as the way it is behaving, it continues to be more stronger against the dollar. That is one thing that I can't predict, and I do not know the impact of that. We already, if you were to compare June of 2016 and 2017, the rupee has become stronger as much as by about 3 rupees. Now, just to give you a sense, every 1 rupee of, the weakness of rupee against dollar by at least 1 rupee puts us back by something like 15 to 20 crores of rupees. So, I don't know going forward, that is anybody's guess. People are talking about 60 rupees a dollar, 61 rupees a dollar. That I don't think. I won't be able to take that into consideration. The other part is that, the tax rate, which in this year, as I said, has gone up by as much as about 5 to 6% for us. These two factors will definitely be a challenge for us. There are some internal plans to, maybe work out a countermeasure against that. How much we will succeed, only time will tell. And more so about the rupee dollar is something that nobody can rightly predict. But if I was to take a very, reasonable view of the matter, I think we should still be able to maintain the overall profitability of the company at more or less a similar level, even in this financial year.
Okay, so year on year it should be okay for the full year as a whole.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my question, sir. Most of my questions are already answered. Just want to understand this on the tax rate. As you mentioned, that tax rate would be higher in FY18. So what benefits we are parting off in FY18?
See, there were two benefits which were taken away in the last budget. One was that the R&D expenditure, because we are a very R&D company and we keep spending a lot of money on that.
Okay.
That was eligible for a 200% reduction earlier, reduction. If you spend 100 rupees, you will get a tax deduction of 200.
Okay.
That was reduced to 150 now. So against 100 rupees expenditure, you will be eligible only for 150. That is one significant, reduction. Another was, as we are a very capex-oriented company, we spend a lot of money on the capital expenditure on our chemicals and other businesses. So we were eligible until March 2017, 15% of the cost as an investment allowance. That has also been taken away with effect from 1st of April. These are two very significant amounts which we are going to lose in the financial year 17-18 and onwards. So that has caused this tax rate to climb up quite substantially from about 26% to 32%.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to clarify this 1 rupee change or 1 rupee appreciation in the rupee will impact almost 20 to 50 crores to your EBITDA or to the top line?
To 20, I said.
Sorry?
15 to 20, 15 to 20.
Okay, 15 to 20 to your top line, right?
Well, yes, sir, top line, it goes into bottom line also.
Yeah, I mean, that is what. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, just wanted to understand your other unallocable expenses seems to have gone up. So just was wondering, is there any one-off or would be the trend going forward as well?
See, this is other unallocable is always with reference to the other income also. So if the other income goes down or, goes up or down, that will also be impacted because it is net of other income.
Sure, sir, I have reverse calculated. So it stands at 47 crore. Correct me if I am wrong over there on other unallocable expense if we adjust for other income.
We'll be able to respond if you can just write a mail because
sure,
the numbers, et cetera, we need to look into, how it has done. But there's been no... surprise there. This is only on account of changes in the other income, as I said, changes in some of the other expenditure that we incur at the corporate office.
Sure, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Manjeet Buwaria from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Manjeet Buwaria from Solidarity Advisors. I think the operator mistook the firm name. Sir, my question was actually, I wanted to understand back in FY8, FY9 kind of time period when our chemical and polymer business was doing around 600 crores of revenues, what was the mix between refrigerant and agrochemicals at that point of time?
Sir, you are taking me 10 years before I won't be able to answer, but I can only say that those were the years in which we started our journey of specialty chemicals. So, it was setting up our R&D and so on and so forth. So, it was largely a refrigerant and the fluorochemicals business at that point of time. The specialty chemical in a big way has only started coming in, if I may say so, from 11, 12 and, something like that.
So back
in 8-9, we were probably not having any significant specialty chemical.
So this is the first time we have kind of faced a agrochemical cycle downturn since we started in FY11-12. Would that be the right way to look at it?
Yes.
Okay. My second question was actually on the chemical business, if you could just help us understand the fixed overheads. What is the fixed overhead expense for just the chemical and polymer business in the whole year FY17 and the two quarters, this one and the previous one?
That will be detailing, you can only look at the EBIT levels which has resulted. Fixed expenditure by their very nature will remain fixed over a period of time. So yes, the fall, as I said, is largely attributable to the agrochemicals being at a lower end. But the exact numbers, etc., I won't be able to share.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, on the Forex bit, you said 15 to 20 crores of loss. So, is it not a possible, especially in the chemical side, which business does it impact you? I mean, is it just a receivable Forex loss? Or is it that, you know, at many places you're not able to pass on? I mean, I can understand it.
It's, no, if you know, the specialty chemicals is almost entirely export.
Correct, correct.
On our refrigerant chemicals also, at least about 50 to 60% may be export. The balance is domestic. And in packaging film also, is about 40 to 50% may be the export driven. So obviously the dollars to that extent will get impacted.
Yeah, but I mean...
And even in NTCF, let me say, even in NTCF, while the pricing is in rupees, but it is always pegged to the dollars.
Correct. So,
large amount of our revenues, if they obviously, you know, for the same dollars, I will receive less rupees. Yes, some amount of that because I'm importing also the raw materials and so on. But the import is not corresponding to the same level of 50% of export. So I don't, there is always, to the extent of the margin, I will lose out in terms of rupees. That is just a, you know, very ballpark kind of a calculation. Let me just warn you. You should not take that whether it is 15, 20. We just did some kind of a back of the envelope calculation. We believe it may be about 15 CRs or so for a rupee getting strengthened against dollars.
Okay. But some of it you will be able to pass on with time, right? I mean, like, say, for example, if you're selling something.
How do you pass on the forex? You can hedge, maybe. Looking, you know, whatever dollar sale that you do, you may be able to hedge that so that you receive the same or similar kind of rupees in turn.
Okay. And, sir, what is your total capex plan for FY18 and FY19? I mean, total consolidated number.
19, we are not yet found up. FY18 is about 900 crores or so.
And one of it is the solvent plant that you're putting up, one multipurpose chemical plant, one API plant, and one...
Any capexes which are ongoing on which we have not completely spent, so that is the unspent amount of the earlier, you know, sort of approved capexes. And some bit that we may, going forward, also approve, so part of that may get spent in this year.
And
all of that may be about 900 crores or so.
And BOPP, when it gets completed?
BOPP gets completed in February 2018.
Okay, sir. Thanks so much. That's all of my question.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I look at your standalone EBIT from the packaging films business, for the past, I think, 6 or 8 quarters, this has been in the ballpark of, 20, 22 crores a quarter. This is despite, new capacity coming up. Is this, what's going on here? If you can just sort of, indicate, should we see this as a... As an increasing pot, this absolute level of EBIT?
No, absolute level will, because like new capacity, we have ourselves also come in. So absolute numbers will undergo a change, and the margins will play their role also in terms of reducing the proportionate, the profitability that you have. But as I said, BOPET has already come on stream in February. BOPP is going to come in 2018. So all of that will do change, will result in change in the absolute numbers. They are not going to remain constant, obviously.
But sir, last 8 quarters they've been in this sort of a range. So something is...
I don't think in the last 8 quarters we came up with any additional capacity, so to say. And despite the margins going down, we were able to maintain the absolute profitability because of various actions that I said,
sure.
Having evaluated product, reduction in the cost, and so on and so forth.
Sure. And then similarly, sir, on the packaging, on the subsidiaries, packaging films, in that segment as well, now that both the plants are sort of, running at reasonable capacity utilizations, do we see this absolute EBIT, from the subsidiaries in the packaging films business as an increasing, pot, or do you think this is now broadly flat?
Well, see, during this period particularly, the internationally the BOPP was under a lot of stress, which resulted in reduction in the margin. But I mean, if it was a stable environment, well, because there's 100% capacity utilization, that depends on, you know, some cyclicality of the newer capacity coming in, supply and the demand balance getting, you know, challenged. That will keep on changing. But on the whole, I mean, I don't expect this to go up significantly because we are 100% capacity which is utilized. And unless we add some more capacities or we debottleneck or do something else, this is going to remain more or less similar, except the market led.
Thank you, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So again, my question is again related to agrochem, and I just want to understand a bit in terms of the agrochem cycle over here. So, sir, when you said that there is a deferment of order, so, sir, is there only deferment of the order, or do you have something like, you know, your queries which you're getting last year, because we've been seeing a lot of queries coming in last two quarters, you're getting, translating that into an order also, and that may come in Q3, Q4.
As I said, you know, our inquiry funnel and the, mm-hmm. and the molecules on which we are working,
mm-hmm.
What we call a commercialization or a conceptualization, that continues to be very, very strong. We continue to work on a lot many molecules and the products because our team has not only remained at the same level, it has only grown. The people on the ground dealing with the R&D, the engineering and so on has only grown over the period of time. So they remain, again, fully engaged. They keep on looking at various inquiries that keeps happening. The only thing, as I said, there is a lag between the hour being ready to deliver a molecule and the customer only looking at the market condition as to when we should launch that product and get a full-fledged order placed on it. So there is no dearth of inquiry. There is no dearth of molecules on which we are working. There is a great amount of activity which keeps happening at the developmental and the research level. It is all culminate into a commercial or full-fledged commercial order, which we are now seeing that is likely to happen by fourth quarter of FY18.
So basically, you see, there is a kind of indication given to you by your customers that you know they will come for these inquiries of the new funnel, new products, into products.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I hope we have been able to answer all your questions. If you have any further questions, we would be happy to be of assistance. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management, I once again thank you for taking the time to join us on this call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Patliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.